IRIB English Radio.
Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among thy troops are the victors, and place me in thy party, for thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among thy friends, for thy friends, no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, and leave no enemy unless thou repelst him. By means of in the name of Allah, the best of the names, in the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger, and I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee, O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. The
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Almighty Allah be upon all of you. Dear friend, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Today we're going to speak about gifts for the deceased.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, haqqiq amanina, waffiqna fi kulli an, fi ma sa'ina.
Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today Monday is the 6th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 22nd of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of September 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Baqarah, verses 155 to 156. Let's listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين.
And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient.
الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون.
Who, when disaster strikes them, say, indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we will return.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
It's narrated from the Prophet of Islam, who said, the person who receives a calamity and thereafter, whenever the one remembers it, utters the phrase, verily we belong to Allah, and certainty unto him shall we return. Allah gives the believers once again the reward of the day when the one received that calamity, even though there has passed a long time after that calamity. He, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, has also said in another tradition that for such a person, Allah will amend that calamity with a better quality than before, and his destiny will conclude well.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Gifts for the deceased. Dear friend, it's quite obvious why those who have passed away from this world need our help. What one sows in this world, that is our deeds, is what one reaps in the hereafter. One's only a set for the next world is good deeds, but of course the burden of one's bad deeds also manifests itself in the form of torture and punishment. This Quranic verse echoes the anxiety faced by the dead, until when death overtakes one of them, he says, my Lord, send me back. Chapter 23, verse 99. Remember that death is the point of no return. If the dead are suffering from consequences of their worldly sins, There is no dirt relief from it unless something extraordinary happens. Their child, their parents, their relatives or friend decide to send a pleasant deed their way to fill them with immeasurable joy and relief.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to send gifts to the deceased. The successful infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam indicates that when a believer recites Ayatul Kursi for the deceased people, for example, for the people buried in a cemetery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides an angel for every letter, every letter of the alphabet indicated in Ayatul Kursi to be calculated, to be reckoned for its religious virtues for the person who has recited it up to the day of resurrection. And this person who has recited Ayatul Kursi in favor of the deceased people will be given the rewards of 60 divine prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the deceased people in whose favor Ayatul Kursi has been recited by means of extending the graves and enlightening the graves with abundant light. And those people who recite Ayatul Kursi in favor of the deceased people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decrease his punishment for those people who are buried therein. And the deceased people who are buried in that cemetery, according to the number, the collective number of all people buried in that cemetery, according to this number, the religious reward of Quran recitation will be indicated, will be recorded in the profile of the person who has recited Ayatul Kursi in favor of the deceased people in the cemetery.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
A gift for the dead. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "Give the dead." When the companions asked what they should gift the dead with, the Prophet said, "With charity and prayer," and continued, "The souls of that person descended every Friday on earth and begged their close ones with a forlorn voice, 'O mother, O father, O children, O close ones to me, be kind to me even with a dirham or a piece of bread or clothes, and Allah shall reward you.' Then the Prophet cried bitterly, and all the companions cried bitterly too, such that the Prophet could not utter anything. Finally, the Prophet said, 'These were your brothers in faith, and they now have turned to dust after enjoyment in this life, and they regret bitterly and reproach themselves, and wish that they had done good deeds so that they wouldn't need you, and that is why you should help them in their desperate condition.'"
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why? should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
Here on IRIB English Radio, today's special. There is a piece of advice for every Muslim losing a loved one. Occupy yourself. We all need time to heal and experience the feeling of grief as it comes. But it is imperative to keep moving forward despite the loss. The process of bereavement carries you back to the past, reminding you of all that you could have said or done. And this makes you feel all the more depressed and lonely. Thus, going back to your usual routine could become your lifeline, as this may serve as a healthy distraction to channel out your energy to do something good. One is never really prepared for this paralyzing pain, yet Allah reassures us that every hardship will ease. Chapter 94 of the Holy Quran, verse 5.
Humail ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai says, one day Amir al-Mu'mineen told me, "Ya Humail, let's take a walk." It was the middle of the night. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen took my hands. He took me all the way to the deserts. He said, then I saw something extremely hurtful. He said, I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen put his head inside the whale. And he was speaking for a long time. He got out. I said to him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what are you doing? You're speaking into a well." He said to me, "Ya Humail, Ya Humail, innaha huna ilman jamma. Ya Humail, there is so much in this chest. It's about to explode. I have to speak it. And there is no one that can carry this knowledge. There is no one that can carry the weight in my chest. So I'd have to end up speaking to the well." Look at the patience of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he said, he made a circle around me and he said, "Ya Humail, you cannot leave the circle. I'm about to go and converse and speak to someone and return." So he said, Imam Ali left for a long time. He said, "I was extremely scared. I said, what if they hurt him? What if the enemies have gone to him? What if he's been attacked by a lion?" He said, "I went and I saw Amir al-Mu'mineen dead, laying dead." He said, "I went, I said, Ya Imam Ali, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Aba al-Hasan, Ruhi lak al-Fida," nothing, no response. He said, "I began to cry and to weep and I ran towards the house." I ran towards the house and the immaculate wife of Mawlana wa Sayyiduna Amir al-Mu'mineen says to him, this happens to Ali every day. When he converses with Allah, when he spends time with Allah, when he thinks of the Akhirah. And this is the legacy that Amir al-Mu'mineen left behind. And this is the legacy that our ulama have left behind. And this is the legacy of a person that thinks of the Akhirah, puts the Akhirah in front of them.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us listen to the negative consequences of anger as outlined by the Holy Prophet's fifth infallible successor, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him. Never take away or usurp anyone's property.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We mentioned previously that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was one of those individuals who, you know, went through so much. He saw so much. And, you know, what actually went through the Imam's heart was not something easy to understand or something easy for us to even, you know, perceive or to fathom. And, you know, normally if a person goes through such, you know, it's very difficult to get back to a normal sort of life. But Imam alayhi salam obviously used this tears as a form of tabligh. Use the event of Karbala and the event of Ashura as a means to propagate and promote the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam. For in the books of history we have that the Imam alayhi wassalam had many different methods of indirect propagation of Islam, one of them and one of the most important being the tears for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Therefore we see that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this tradition says that regarding Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, that the Imam, that is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, or as Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, as Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, he cried over Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam for 20 years after the tragedy of Karbala. Even that is too little. The Imam basically would cry his entire life. It is mentioned that when he would see a youth, he would cry. When he would see an old man, he would cry. When he would see an animal about to be slaughtered, he would cry. Again, this is a form of tabligh, a form of propagation to make people aware of what was happening. So again, as for Ali ibn Husayn alayhi salam, he cried over Husayn alayhi salam for 20 years after the tragedy of Karbala. Never would any food be placed before him, that is before Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, except that he would begin to weep. That this food being brought before him would remind him of the thirst of Ashura, the hunger of the children on the day of Ashura, the hunger of the children in the prison of Sham, in one of the most difficult times of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that particular, you know, period when they were in Sham, in Damascus, in the court and prison of the Umayyads. And the Imam would weep and cry in remembering these events. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, to be of those who practice and who are truly the mourners of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and to grant us the intercession of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam on the day of judgment, insha'Allah. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me, brother Mahdi.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are talking about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and then beside all these parts, we are going to have some other Quranic parts, which are going to be presented to you throughout the program. So don't go away. On August 12, 2010, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at a Quranic meeting said, "If we do not learn from the Holy Quran, we would not be strongly advised to recite it. We should pay attention that the goal is not simply to create and disperse vocal waves in the air. It is not the goal. And the goal is not to enjoy the Holy Quran like the way we enjoy a poem which is recited by a person in a good voice and in a rhythmic way. The goal is not to enjoy the Holy Quran this way. All these prerequisites, that is to say, reciting the Holy Quran and what promotes this recitation in society, which is having a good voice, are for the sake of understanding the Quranic concepts. Good voice is only one of the elements which promotes recitation in the society and which attracts hearts towards it." Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mohammed Awaz. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in the rural area of Damyat Governorate in 1933. At the age of 5, he lost his father, who was very pious and a reciter of the Holy Quran. Then his uncle adopted him and helped him learn the recitation of the Noble Quran. So when he turned 7, he performed his first recitation before people of the village. Then he learned tajweed and recitation rulings and memorized the Noble Quran. When he was a teenager, he took part in a provincial Quran competition for the first time, and he managed to rank first in the competition. He entered Egyptian Quran Radio in 1977. He traveled to many countries, including Thailand, Netherlands, Russia, and United Arab Emirates. He passed away in 2002. May Allah bless his soul. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Ar-Rum, verses 20 to 22, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Awaz, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And among his signs is that he created you from dust, and then, behold, you are human beings scattered. And among his signs is that he created for you from among yourselves mates, that you may find repose in them, and he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the difference of your languages and complexions. Verily in that are indeed signs for people of sound knowledge.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلقكم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة
تَفَكَّرُونَ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ar-Rum, verses 20 to 22, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Rival. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this was a very beautiful recitation. And, you know, this reciter has a very clear voice.
Yes.
He has a very special voice. And, you know, it's very relaxed. And at the same time, it's very audible and clear and loud. And these are very beautiful verses. It's about the creation of the human being and how Allah made mates from the human beings themselves, and how they take comfort in them, and how he made affection and mercy between them. These are very beautiful verses. And Sheikh Iwalt, he recited these verses very beautifully. Because, yeah, you know, we have a narration from the Holy Prophet. The Prophet says, حَسِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ صَوْتَ الْحَسَنِ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حَسَنًا. It means, recite the Qur'an with a beautiful voice, or make your recitation of the Qur'an beautiful with your voices. Make the Qur'an beautiful with your voices, because a beautiful voice and melody increases the beauty of the Qur'an. Okay, let's go over the rules of tajweed.
Good idea.
What's interesting about verse 20 and 21 is that there's a lot of rules of Nun Sakina. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ We have إِلْحَام.
Manifestation.
أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ Another إِلْحَام.
Yes.
The Nun is pronounced clearly, completely. مِنْ تُرَاب We have إِخْفَى. أَنْتُمْ
Again إِخْفَى.
Another إِخْفَى. أنتم بشر. This is not the rule of Nun Sakina, but it's a rule of Mim Sakina, which is similar to Iqlab.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see that these Ikhfaz and Nun Sakinas, they increase they make the rhythm more beautiful.
Yes.
They improve the rhythm of the verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ See, these are all ghunnas, and it makes it very beautiful. And Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, he has recited these verses so beautifully.
Yes.
And you just have to listen to it many times, over and over. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ And one thing is that the مَدُّ الْمُنْفَصِلِ are lengthened to four vowel counts. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ And لِتَسْكُنُوا The scene was pronounced with the correct timing. The pause that you have to make on the letters. Scene has the highest timing. The longest timing, actually.
Because it is a weak
it's
fricative.
It's a weak fricative. It's a letter of رَخَاوَة. Or, for example, أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ The scene was pronounced again with the correct timing. The maqams that were used in this recitation were Hijaz. The beginning was Hijaz. It was very beautiful. Hijaz is a very strange maqam. Abdul Basit, he uses this maqam a lot. And it's very beautiful.
It's impressive, I think.
Yes, it's, you know, it's just, it's like a different world. Whenever you listen to Hijaz, it's like it's from another world. Yes, you know, Hijaz has a kind of rhythm because, you know, originally the melody and the tune of Hijaz was used for the camels in Hijaz. They used to recite certain poems using this maqam, and the camels, they would walk. They would start walking and moving. And because it's because of the rhythm that it has. And it reminds you of the desert of Arabia, of Hijaz. And usually this maqam is used for talking about whenever the verse is about the signs of Allah. These are all signs of Allah. Excellent. Hijaz is an excellent maqam for conveying the meaning whenever it's about the signs of Allah. Wa min ayati, of his signs is that he created you from dust. And of his signs is that he created you for you mates from your own selves. Among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. And at the end, at the end, he says, the verse says, there are indeed signs in that for those who know. And he recites this part of the verse in Maqam Nahawand as a conclusion.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardid, millat Iran, millat mojza asay qarn ast.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello, and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This program, of course, is dedicated to the memory and to the greatness and to the legacy that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, is left for the world and is still changing the world. In our previous program, we were discussing with our expert in the studio several important points which we are bringing out from Imam Khomeini's life. And of course, Imam Khomeini's life is, for many experts, from an anthology of a book that has been compiled on Imam Khomeini by academics and experts and scholars around the world, still pretty much, even today, an enigma in spite of all the research and all the papers that have been written about the subject of this man and his great legacy. Of course, we are now seeing the effects of this legacy in terms of the Islamic awakening that is occurring throughout the region, especially in the Middle East region. But of course, it has had its impact all over the world, and that's what we're discussing. We wanted to discuss two aspects today in today's program. The first is the fact that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was a man who was not of his time. He was actually beyond time, although he was in the context of the late 20th century. But of course, his words, his manners, his deeds are something beyond time. And we want to look into that aspect of his life. And we want to look at it from different expertise and from different perspectives as possible, as broadly as we can. And secondly, we also want to look at the fact that Imam Khomeini also left a legacy, which he repeated from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy family, that spoke about the fact that as far as Islam is concerned, that is the true Muhammadan Islam, as they say, is the fact that there is the Quran and the infallibles, the holy family of the Holy Prophet, which is in with the 12 Imams, and of course the last Imam is the awaited Savior, Imam al-Mahdi, may God hasten his appearance soon. And we want to put all this into a context where we can understand from which perspective Imam Khomeini was coming from and what he tried to achieve in terms of the goals that he had in his vision as far as the Muslim Ummah were concerned. We're not going to really ask questions in the sense that, you know, why Imam Khomeini did this and why Imam Khomeini did that, but what we really want to do is trying to have a deep and profound understanding of the enigma of Imam Khomeini. So, first of all, I'd like to welcome my guest again, which is Dr. Hassani, who has been so valuable in terms of his perspective and his unique angle on this great personality. And I'd like to welcome him, first of all, onto the program. Thank you, Dr. Hassani.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Hassani, tell us, please, you know, from, you know, this first question, Imam Khomeini really, although he was a personality of the 20th century, but we didn't get to know him in the sense that of, I would say we were given an introduction to him when he appeared on the scene in terms of the victory of the Islamic Revolution, particularly here in Iran. But as far as Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was concerned, this was the Islamic Revolution for the entire Muslim Ummah, because that's what his aim was. His aim was to unify the Muslim Ummah. He wanted to guide them, particularly in a century or a time in which religion had taken the back seat. And of course, what was espoused by capitalism or communist ideologies was at the forefront of what people understood the world to be at that time. And of course, Imam Khomeini saw something far beyond that, and he brought that out of the Holy Quran, and we discussed the fact that he was living the Quran, because even the smallest action you mentioned, Dr. Hassani, was about even the way he drank water, for example, or the way he behaved in front of Edward Shevardnadze in terms of his foreign policy, in terms of his etiquette towards unbelievers, his behavior and humbleness towards believers. So tell us, you know, this man becomes the imam. You know, I mean, imam was a word that we only understood as somebody who leads a prayer in a mosque. But the imam gave a whole new definition to the word in the 20th century as well, in terms of the understanding that there is a need for human beings to have the leadership which connects man to God. Put that in some context for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So many different subjects. Brother right. Ejad, I am listening to you very carefully. The word you use, enigma. Indeed, this is a big enigma for those who don't want to understand. This is number one.
Right.
With regard to the fact
that they don't want to understand because they fear the consequences.
Exactly. You know, the small of Jokern. The picture, the famous picture,
yes,
enigma,
yes.
Enigma for, you can see it. It is enigma, but you can talk about it for those who wants to.
Sure.
the point that you made that he cared about Muslims, of course, you talk about Islamic awakening, you know, that's true. But he did care about the entire humanity.
He did.
So that's another subject.
Very good.
Let me start by saying this. Brother Ejaz,
yes.
The great people in the history, and this is my belief, big people, and by big I don't mean physical. I'm talking about the character here, the positive character. Great people, like, they are like mountains.
That's beautifully put. That's very eloquent.
The bigger they are, the harder to grasp the volume of it.
Exactly.
Great people, and I am going purposely to repeat this. Great personalities, they are like mountains. In order to understand part of it, some of it, you have to step back.
Exactly.
You have to create a distance. It could be physical, could be in time. Imam Khomeini, just like his ancestors, the Impeccables, we believe they are from the family of Sadat.
That's right.
The root goes back to
the Holy Prophet.
Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his holy progeny.
Exactly.
They are so great, just like mountain. You have to step back. And they also like a beautiful picture. You have to step back in order to appreciate the beauty of it.
Exactly.
You know, a miniature, you have to get into the detail of it. There are so many different aspects of a beautiful picture. Color, the way it is put, the way it is painted.
Yeah.
You have to step back.
Exactly.
This is number one.
Right.
And Imam Khomeini, as a great person, is not the exception in that matter. How many years after his demise? Why Imam Khomeini still is the subject of real talk? We have so many different, you know, talk shows.
Sure.
But we're talking about something valuable, something important, something worth talking about. Brother Ejaz, Khomeini is a piece of land. When you say,
right,
talking about Khomeini,
yes,
it's only,
yes,
a geography. But Khomeini is a piece of divine work. Just like I mentioned at the beginning.
Divine tapestry, yeah.
Exactly. Just like I mentioned the great person and personality of Abu Zar.
Yes.
Who happens to be a great companion of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Of course, yes.
He set so many different examples for us in order how to deal with government, in order how to deal with oppression, in order how to raise our voice in the time of misery. But he was an Abu Zar to begin with. He was only a
Shepherd.
But the beauty of knowing Abu Zar is refer, it goes back to know the work of Allah.
Know the work of Allah.
Imam Khomeini was the art of Allah. Allah is telling us, look, it is 1400 years after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Yes.
And all his successors,
yes,
the 12 Imam.
Mm-hmm.
I can raise one person in the 20th century that some communist mentality says religion is the opium
of the masses. Yeah, that's the cliche.
And this cliche was believed by so many different,
yes,
people.
Because they saw that religion was irrelevant.
So in this 20th century, the miracle happens. You know what the word miracle means in Arabic? Under normal circumstances, nobody else can do it.
Yes, nobody else.
But God. And someone by the permission of God.
God. Very nice.
You see what I'm saying?
Eloquently put, yes, by the permission of Allah.
You have to think about the meaning, the real meaning of the word.
Yes.
You know how much we could be taught, self-taught, I should say.
Yeah.
Just by reading the word and getting to the meaning, the real meaning of the word. To ordinary people, it was impossible to be pure, to be,
yes,
clean,
yes,
to follow the path,
to live the Quran,
to say something that nobody can imagine.
But wouldn't you say that miraculousness is coming out of the fact that because he's living the Quran,
Yeah, that gave
and the
you
Quran.
The
that Quran gave, is the miracle.
That
of
gave
Allah.
Him. That gave him the power.
That gave him the edge.
Let me give you a reference to Quranic
please,
verse.
Please fire away.
I mean, this is it's supposed to be our style when we're talking about something, and we talk about it as a fact, which is.
Yeah.
We're not talking in vain.
No.
We're not hallucinating.
No. Put it in some context.
We put it in some context.
Yeah.
God, remember we talked about this before.
Yeah.
God's promise is valid, no matter who says differently. And Quranic teaching tells us, let me give you something.
Sure.
In chapter Azab, verse 23.
Right.
I read the Arabic.
Please.
Then I translate it.
Yes, please do that.
Min al-mu'mineen, first of all, he's talking about a group of faithful. Min al-mu'mineen.
Right.
There are some men among the faithful.
Some men among the faithful.
Some men among
the faithful.
And Brother Ejaz, I cannot repeat this enough. Remember, God is talking to us.
Mm.
This is a promise. This is a statement.
Mm-hmm.
This is an imperative statement. Min al-mu'minina rijalun. There are among the faithful, there are some men. Sadaqu ma'ahadullah alayh. The translation goes like this. Among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah.
My God.
You see?
My God.
This is the miracle.
Yeah, this is the miracle. They
Why?
Have pledged something to Allah.
They pledged a covenant, if you will.
Mm.
A promise. God promised them something.
Yes.
They believed it.
They believed
it. Every single cell in their body. They didn't act. You know, for people to say, oh, he's a faithful, so let's reward him with material or what. They don't care, in a sense.
Mm.
They don't care whoever says what about them, as long as God is pleased with them or not.
Exactly.
Again, min al-mu'minina rijal. This is very beautiful ayah. A good verse, a good example of what Imam Khomeini, who Imam Khomeini was, and still is. That's why he's still changing the world. That's why you still have enemies. This is one way to know. Great people always, you know, during the history of prophets, apostles, messengers, whatever, they kill them. Why they kill messengers? Because you cannot obviously kill the message. They killed messengers because they thought by killing messengers, look at the wrong mentality, wrong calculation against divine promise.
Of course.
They killed apostles, prophets, messengers during the history.
Mm.
Okay? And they thought by killing them, they can relieve themselves. They can arrive in a comfortable situation, and they didn't. Because that's against promise.
Well, I mean, you talk about this miraculous thing, and I'd like to relay this for our listeners, because we want to, as I say, we want to put it back into our context again, that this is not just some argument that we are coming up with from the Holy Quran. As you say, this is a beautiful verse, that these are men who have pledged something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to see it fulfilled. It's brilliant the perspective you're taking, but I'd like to put it in this context, that this miraculousness was there before our eyes, because communism was saying religion is the opium of the masses, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a leader from the masses in order to show,
to take upon his promise.
Or take upon his promise, this pledge, to help these masses to get that connection back with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he does it in the modern context where you have the strongest military power on earth, the United States of America. No doubt even the Soviet Union felt belittled before America.
So-called superpower.
So-called
which
superpower.
Which I call super misery.
Super misery. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. But at the end of the at that particular juncture, as you said, it was a beautiful point you raised there about the killing of the messenger in order to relieve themselves of the message. But we saw in the desert of Tabas,